said this to you one time when you're going through a tough time, that God never gives us more than we can handle. But then they go on to say themselves, I just wish God didn't have such faith in me. And maybe that was helpful. It's a common phrase, a common saying, but maybe even expresses a little doubt. Is there help along the way? Is there anyone who cares? Is God present? You know, there's doubts there. But these godly influences in our lives. For me, it was mom. It was grandmothers, along with others as well. They would go on to say that they truly were never alone on the journey, even though it was hard. God was present always. Why do so many go astray? If God is so near and God is there to help us, He won't give us more than we can handle. Well, the George Barna research group some years ago asked high schoolers, who do you turn to in times of testing, confusion, or crises when things are falling apart? Sorry, moms, you're at number 11. Fathers at number 25. Music and friends. Lord, help us. Lord, help them. You know, what kind of wise counsel and, you know, discernment. You know, friends are good. We need our friends. Music, tuning out, isolation. Be careful. But it's a reality. But it's not just the youth. The Chicago Tribune had an article, maybe the same amount of years ago, stating how adults are leaning more on intuitive healers. You know, you can find intuitive healers out there. One self-proclaimed, you could call her on the phone, she could discern your disease, and as long as you have a credit card or some way to pay, she'll give you the answers. Now, not too many people would go for something like that, but maybe we have. When we're desperate, where do we turn? There's all kinds of snake oil salespeople around, so to speak. You got this, or do you get all the emails and, you know, the phone calls? It's all about helping you get through. And they seem to know areas of weakness. You know, they kind of, they seem to be tapping into an area. But when we're desperate, we don't want to go down those paths. The Bible says, Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Yeah, we have. Sometimes we've gone down some wrong paths. In Great Britain, get this, some couples were going to a council of witches for ailments. What? But no doubt, there's all kinds of things, a dangerous path. Do these ceremonies, incantations, and potions, and you will have success. These are the kind of voices out there. And if there's any vulnerability in our youth or even in our life, we will chase after it because it promises a quick fix. But we need to shut those voices down. And how about in the environment and culture we live in, more and more the atmosphere is that God is irrelevant. God is irrelevant. You know, there are no rules out there. Anything goes. Is that the kind of skepticism and doubt about God that exists in our communities and our circles of influence? Certainly we see it in the world every day. And even with the best advice of mothers down through the ages, I can always hear mom's voice tucked away in the back of my mind. You know, all those things that I should be doing, make sure you got insurance and get to the dentist, you know, good healthy things. Be good, stay out of trouble, be safe, honest, pray, go to church. Yes, Mom, I'm a pastor, I'm going to church. But for all of us, you know, those things, we tend to take our own path, don't we? That independence. Some of us know all too well places that our path have taken us and experiences. And it's good to share those when you're this side of it. Maybe you have a testimony. But for our youth, since I started with the youth, a searching faith is not always that bad. They need to be free from, you know, doing something for others. They need to find God in their own way. They need to find Jesus. Yes, that's the hope. And a searching faith, if they've been brought up in the faith, they will come back. They will return. So that's what we hope and pray for. All the lost will find their way home to God. And all of us here, you know, are people who have known hard times, maybe going through hard times, who've been afflicted by disease, lost loved ones, battle addiction, no brokenness. Maybe those who have not felt safe or protected in our world or society. There's doubts. We long for more peace and grace and more hope. Well, there is a solution. In the lostness, I know that's not a word, but it's a term, a phrase that's utilized. Even for believers at times, there's sometimes a lostness. We're just kind of, you know, spinning our wheels. I believe, but there's got to be more. But the lostness we see in our friends and neighbors, their uncertainties at times, and maybe some of ours, there's a solution. It comes with warnings and a blessing in our text today. John 10. Jesus is surrounded in verse 23 by skeptics. Yes, it's the religious leaders, but they were doubters. And that, you know, what was read this morning says they gathered around him. No, they surrounded him like an army. They cornered him. They surrounded him as he was walking in the temple. They're looking for answers. They do not believe him or his miracles. He tells them that he is one with God. And he points to those who believe in him. My followers. You know, my followers. I'm supposed to put that down. Okay. That they hear his voice. He's continuing that teaching from earlier in John 10. The skeptics weren't there for that teaching, but it's for the first community in the first century that received the letter. But he's continuing that stream, the vivid image of a shepherd and sheep to describe his followers. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. The warning, the blessing. The warning is this, the context in John 10. It's winter, maybe 5 to 6 months before the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's November, December. It's the Feast of Dedication. That's Hanukkah. Hanukkah is taking place. And Jesus is teaching about the Good Shepherd connected to this is for a reason. Because the shepherd imagery spoke directly to the feast's recitation of the corruption of the temple priesthood. They would go through it. The priests 200 years earlier, they were corrupting the people. They were corrupting the sacrificial system, the religious institution. They were corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. And that's when God allowed the Greeks to take over the temple. They desecrated it. They put a statue of Zeus in the Holy of Holies. But there was a band of young people. Judas Maccabees was one of many sons of, you know, their father, and they were righteous, and they wanted the temple back, and in a miraculous way they did recapture the temple, and they rededicated it. And there was a miracle of oil. That's where the Hanukkah, the lights, that it went for 8 days. But the warning is this. Jesus, his presence is reminding them, the very skeptics and leaders that he's talking to, that, you know, this thing's going in the same way again. You're going to lose the temple again. He doesn't say that there, but 4 years later it happens. It's just that cycle of sin. That cycle of sin. We keep doing the same thing, not trusting God, not hearing his voice. There's a warning here. But Jesus is still loving them. But there's a universal theme here that sits behind the chapter. You know, it's people and their leaders. And we go down a big path here today, but we wouldn't all be in agreement politically, would we? but people and their leaders. But let's bring it back to back in that time. Israel's leaders failing them for centuries, guiding the people into spiritual bondage, almost destroying their country by assimilating it into the Greek culture, that Hellenism. Oh yeah, we can let this filter into our faith. We can have many little gods and, you know, we can bring this into the temple. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. In John, the antagonists, they are the religious leaders. They do have power. They have authority. But they want to preserve what they have. And what they have is ineffective. What they have will never get anything done. What they have is not of God. It's far from God. They've been far from God for four centuries or more. Again, that cycle that just continues itself. They were not helping people hear the voice of God and to follow Him in their life. And I think you already hear the warning for our own day and age. Without correction, without repentance, without a change in direction, it may not just be the churches, it may be our country. You know, this could happen. But all the corruption politically, it doesn't matter what party you're part of. I'm more independent. Lord, help us. Is anybody crying out to God? Actually, I have I got to say this here. Mai and I were at a Capital Prayer Breakfast in Hartford, and there's a remnant of people from both sides of the aisle joining together weekly for prayer for this state and for our country. Politicians, legislators, you need to know that. There's a remnant. Thanks be to God. But as far as churches, why is it that a growing number of churches are closing down every year? You know, we've got one in town here. There may be another one soon. Another one after that. Heaven forbid it would ever happen at this corner. Amen. This passage is about sheep and a shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. We keep listening for His voice and following. We'll be okay. But who do we listen to? You know, there could be a whole range of who are we following? Who are we listening to? Be careful with that. Be discerning with that. You know, how do we discern what is right and true and the best path? We know that's God's word, but so many, you know, we listen to other things and we read other things and, you know, be careful. And what about, what counsel do we give to people who are looking for advice? You know, they're hurting, they're searching. Are we giving good counsel? If our counsel goes against what the Bible says, then maybe it's not good counsel. We want to help people. We want to help them discern the voice of God and follow Him as they go through hardships. Well, the big picture in John here is what? Jesus will be condemned and crucified. He said He's one with God. We know He is, and that's blasphemy in their eyes, and He's going to be crucified. They celebrate Hanukkah, the rededication of the temple, with a miracle of oil. But next spring, Jesus will replace the temple. He will replace the sacrificial system once and for all. I thought in my mind that the cessation of the sacrificial system was right when the Holy of Holies, the curtain, was torn. But I looked it up a bit. Janie, you can check me on this. But it looks like that they still had sacrifice for another generation, something like that. But then it totally ended. Jesus is the real deal. We just pray that they might see that. Well, wrapping up things, there are two marks to being part of Jesus's flock. What does it say? My sheep, you know, our relationship, our connection to the Good Shepherd, hearing His voice and following Him. How do we do this? Well, we do it by being aware of what's going on in our own life. You know, there are hardships, there are joys, there are challenges, and, you know, how do I hear God's voice in the midst of all this? Well, you know, I've got to slow down a bit, try and turn the static down a little bit. You know, are we hearing His voice this morning in any way? And we listen, but we also do it by following Jesus. And that shows the way out of lostness to others. There's great examples here in our church of people in the midst of trials, but you know, God is seeing them through it. He's gone before them and they know it, and showing us the way out of any kind of lostness that can come. Julia Cameron, a writer, she wrote this: "What do we like sheep, or when do we like sheep go astray?" And she shares, "For me anyway, it often starts with something small, something embarrassing, not criminal, not that barely seems worth troubling God about. And then it grows and festers. Shrinking back from God, we begin to harbor secrets. We have our reservations about God based on our feeling that God would have reservations about us. Without meaning to do it, we sell ourselves short. We sell God short." So discerning, what's going on in our own lives? Archbishop Fulton Sheen says this: "It was the bleating lamb, the bleating lamb in the thickets, more than the flock in the peaceful pastures, which attracted the Savior's heart and helping hand." You know, Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you. Cry to me. Cry out to God." You stuck in a thicket? Or when we're stuck in a thicket, we can cry out to God. He will bring help. And 1 Peter 2:25, you know, that's Peter, Simon Peter. We know that he had a lot of reconciling to do, and Jesus restored him on the beach there. He's writing to the people of faith. Maybe they had been scattered, stuck in thickets or whatever was going on. 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." It's good to return to the Lord. You know, what would Mama do? She'd say, "Return to the Lord." To repent of wrongs and be received, forgiven, empowered in our faith and relationships and outreach. Mom wouldn't have it any other way. That's the blessed life. That's the blessed life. There's enough warnings all around. There's enough warnings all around. And what about the 23rd Psalm? Boy, we could spend a few hours on that. But hearing our shepherd: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, if you need a scripture to meditate on and to memorize or just to read through, that's the best one. That's one of the best. Read it, you know. Hear His word and pray and study it. "I shall not want." There is no one else. There's no other voice I want to hear. Yes, there are good voices that will support Jesus. But it's got to be about love. It's got to be about mercy. It's got to be about the will of God, the mind of Christ, the work of the cross. Against that, it's not the voice of God. Alpha last week was about how does God guide us? I thought, oh man, I'm going to listen extra special to this one, knowing this Sunday was coming up. There were five ways. Check me on this, troops. I won't have the phrases exactly, but Scripture, Holy Spirit, the church, you know, the godly saints, the Council of Saints, circumstances and common sense. Was that it? Close enough? Okay. God wants to guide us. He speaks through His word. Come to the Alpha Retreat. You know, it's one of these four videos, only a half hour each. They lay it all out. And it's about so much of the love that God has for us and what He offers us. He offers Himself. And what does that look like? It looks like Jesus. We want Jesus to walk with us, to lead us, to guide us, His mercy, His grace, to bring us to green pastures beside still waters. How many of us need that right now? Lord Jesus, come. Provide for us. Lead us. And what about the following? Faith is a willingness to follow and not always be in charge. It's hard to let go of control. I think that's more and more difficult for me as I'm getting older. You may want a younger pastor. And the battery just cut out, didn't it? So maybe you didn't hear that. But that's good. And faith and following is the ability to remain calm. You know, like that lamb that's lost. Jesus is going to leave the 99 to find you. Just you don't hear God's voice, but to remain calm through it all. It may take 15 years, Liz, right? Wow, I didn't know that. And this reminds us that we cannot follow by ourselves. We need the flock. We need each other. We need one another. If anybody's drifting away from the flock, no, we bring them back in. Don't use a shepherd's hook. Just, you know, we lovingly invite people. If they're falling through the cracks, we don't want that to happen. We need to be connected to the flock. Remain in the fellowship. To know His joy and to know His plan for outreach. You know, reaching out to the world to help them hear the way out of their lostness. So how does God want you to follow Jesus today? It may be different for each of us, but I think it is about making disciples. It's about seeing that people are baptized and they're learning, they're growing, they're reaching out. They're finding their place to serve in ministry and, you know, on a volunteer basis, you know, those kind of things. The church life, you know, we all need each other. We need to be working together. But it's certainly today about loving and bless your mother today. Honor her. You know, where do I need to be reconciled today? Mom was always asking me, have you been talking to your sisters? Have you talked to your sisters ever? Do you ever call your sisters? How about your dad, Tim? Are you been calling your dad? Conviction. And we show respect for all. Even if we're on the different side of the aisle politically from folks and, you know, there's a lot of disrespect going on, we need to respect people. Respect their view, their position, and share ours and listen and care and love. The church needs to lead the way on this, folks. To pray with those across the aisle. Maybe God's speaking to you about something more specific. But I'll invite the worship team to come up. Just one last little thought. So we're going to sing that song afterwards. In between the marks of being a follower of Christ, to hear His voice and to follow, what does it say? Jesus says, I know them. Jesus knows you by name. He knows everything about you. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He wants to pour out His grace and mercy and love into your life. Jesus makes it clear that, you know, there are beloved sons and daughters of the King, of the Good Shepherd. He just loves you. And He has redeemed you from pain. He has gathered you from confusion and brought you out of darkness into the light. And that's what He wants to do for others. There's hope for others who are hurting, who are lost, that they can be redeemed from pain, gathered from confusion, brought out of darkness into light. God loves us. Jesus loves us. The Holy Spirit loves us. It's all about His good grace. Amen.